is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Are we cashing them? Are we trashing them? We each sell an idea, a take, an overreaction, or it might just be a regular reaction for one of us to the other two, and we tell them, we put them in their place, whether to cash it or trash it. Blankers, age before beauty. Why don't you lead us off?
Thanks. I was catching up on a little high school basketball. Some of you people think that's weird. I think you can appreciate it being a basketball fan.
High school basketball? What a weirdo.
Bronny James playing against Carmelo Anthony's kid, Kyan, in a high school game.
Kyan Anthony?
Yep. Cash it or trash it, Bronny James ain't going to be LeBron James, and I'm not sure he is going to be as good as most people think.
Hot take, Bronny James not going to be as good as LeBron James. Is that what you said?
And not going to be as good as a lot of people think, because I think people are anointing him to be just like his dad. I mean, the TV coverage, the fact that he got a breakaway dunk early last night and they immediately split screened it and showed LeBron when his team, high school team, was on, and he did the first time he ever did the big sledgehammer dunk. And I keep, you know, he's got NIL deals and they're saying, is he going to make the jump right to the G League? Is he going to, he's got all these. It's one thing to say he's good enough to get a top scholarship in college basketball, but it's another thing entirely to say he's going to turn out to be even half the player that his dad is or was. And I think he's overhyped at this point.
I haven't heard people compare Bronny to LeBron, so maybe I've just missed this. I don't think it's fair to compare anybody to arguably one of the greatest basketball players ever.
Was it not natural to say that people make comparisons between him and his dad? Because I've seen it. I've seen a lot of people do.
No, like I don't think anybody ever did with the Jordans.
Well, no. Early on, the one that went to Central Florida and then transferred to Illinois. Not that he was going to be Michael, but there was obviously a lot of hype about him being like Michael. Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good college player. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair. And if that does exist, that's out there, then yeah, it's silly to compare LeBron to Bronny or Bronny to LeBron. I think that's outrageous. I think he's going to make the league. I think he's going to make the NBA, maybe because name alone and because LeBron has also said he wants to play for Bronny.
Yep.
So if it means drafting Bronny, you get LeBron, even if you're only looking to sell tickets, it makes a lot of sense. So I think he does make the league. I think he's going to be a good college player. He might even be a solid pro. To say that he's going to be anywhere near his like his father, LeBron James, absolutely not. I'll trash that.
The bar's a little too easy on this. Like, I'm not going to compare anybody to LeBron James while they're in high school. Is
even LeBron James in
I'm
high
not
school,
sold
though.
He's going to be an all-star
See,
NBA
and
player.
The, is he overhyped thing, I think, is a little bit more of a fair discussion. Yeah, I would cash the take that he's probably overhyped.
You think?
I'm not just pretending I'm an expert.
I just pulled up his 24/7. He's a four-star recruit. Like, he's a top 50 national guy. That's not. I mean, he's 40 and 43rd compared to two different ratings.
But those are people who know what they're doing a little bit more. If you ask the general basketball public, basketball fan public, what they think, I think he's probably overhyped in that crowd.
All right. I mean, you talk about, and again, they're comparing him to his dad. They were doing it last night. They're doing it on the internet as well. And it started with the dunk, and then they started going to when LeBron and his St. Pius team upset, I think it was Oak Hill. LeBron had 31 points in that game. Bronny had 11 or 12 last night, and I'm like, I think he's overhyped.
All right, fair enough. All right, the one I want to lead off with, cash it or trash it, see what you guys are saying. Tua sucks again. There, I said it. Mike McDaniel is my favorite head coach in the NFL, and it's a shame that he has to deal with Tua as his quarterback. Last 2 weeks for Tua has been 2021 Tua. This past week, he completed single-digit passes in an NFL game. Completed less than 50% of his passes. Pretty soon, Tua is going to be looking in the mirror that he was looking in last year, asking himself if he sucks. And the answer to the question is, A resounding yes.
I'm gonna trash that. I just think that's. Yeah, I mean, again, there's too many people that love to ride the roller coaster with Tua and make snap judgments. And we see this across the league. We've seen Dak Prescott under the microscope again, and he gets it all the time as well. But I think Tua coming into the previous two games you're talking about was one of the highest rated passers in the league. And obviously, your boy, the mad scientist McDaniel, loves him. And sees a lot of good in him. I don't think he is as great as the top five to probably top 10 in the league, but I don't think he sucks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna trash it as well. I'm pretty much in the same boat with Joel entirely. I think maybe we got to see the absolute best that Tua could be early in the season, and he's not that. But I think Tua is going to be a decent NFL quarterback. I think that he's going to be one of the long list of guys who you can maybe win with but not win because of. And I don't think that qualifies as trash. So I'm trashing the take.
All right, what's yours?
The Jags will win the AFC South next year. Now, I get this is going a little bit out in the future. The Titans are going the wrong direction. And Derrick Henry is not... He's already not the Derrick Henry of the last few years.
He's better than he was last year.
Oh,
he was hurt last year.
Yeah, he's better than he was hurt at the end of last year, but not early on last year. How much time did Henry miss last year? I thought he played most of the season.
He was dinged up quite a bit at the end of the year, yeah.
Really, it was that
little. I'm guessing.
I was thinking it was closer to 10. Regardless, Derrick Henry is going backwards. The Titans are going backwards. I'm not saying the Jags are going to be some 12-14 win team next year, but the Jags have shown some real ups and downs this year, and the ups are really good, and they got a coach you can believe in. I think the Jags are going to be good enough to win the division next year.
I mean, it's not a great division, but...
I mean, that's a big part of this take, to be very clear.
I still think, you know, again, we don't know what the Colts are going to do at quarterback.
I don't believe in the Colts. I think that it's the Titans are the competition.
I think the Colts and the Titans.
Are we disrespecting the Texans here?
Yeah.
No, we're being honest.
All right.
Well, I think we're doing both. I think we're being honest, so we have to disrespect them for anybody that thinks that they're going to be in the conversation. I throw the Colts in the mix, and obviously quarterback is a big question, but... I think the Jags have shown that they got the right coach and that Trevor Lawrence is on the way up. But I don't think Trevor Lawrence is ready to be the quarterback of a playoff team yet. And I still think he makes a lot of mistakes. And so I'm going to trash it for that reason alone.
But you believe in Ryan Tannehill.
I didn't say that either because I don't know that he's going to be the quarterback of the Texans next year. I mean, I hope he's not. The Titans. I think they could find another quarterback.
That would be miserable if he was the quarterback of the Texans.
I'm actually going to cash this. I thought that the Jags had a decent chance to win the division this year, and I thought they were getting pretty good odds to win it this year, and I wouldn't completely rule out that they don't win the division this year.
I almost went there initially. I thought it was a little bit tough for me to see.
Two games back, one of those games, is they still play Tennessee a second time.
It's not inconceivable. There's not much
inconceivable at all. Not inconceivable at all that they win the division this year.
Look, the way the NFL set up, Carolina has a chance to win their division, and who'd have thought that? Because they play the right teams and the schedule set up the right way. So Jacksonville has a chance, too.
Yes, and so I'm going to cash Brendan's take here. I think that, a lot of the reasons that I thought Jacksonville was going to be in contention this year, maybe sneak out, and I got tremendous value for Jacksonville winning this division. I hope they do sneak it out. You're starting to see it come to fruition. Like, they started earlier this year, they weren't winning a lot of close football games. They started off pretty slow, but now they're winning at a much higher clip. They're winning those close games. I think a lot of it's Doug Peterson. I think a lot of it's Trevor Lawrence getting some reps and getting some snaps in the NFL, and they're going to continue to build that team. I see the arrow pointing up on Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. To Brendan's point, Titans drown, Colts down. I'm cashing this. I agree. The Jags will win the division next year. All right, Blankers, what's your second one?
My second one is I heard Paul talking on the way in, and he doesn't think that the Astros are better than they were last year. And I disagree. I just think, I look at the pitching staff, and it's obvious you lose the Cy Young Award winner. And I get that in the regular season. But I also look at what happened when it meant the most in the playoffs. And the pitchers that they have are going to be absolutely as good as the Cy Young Award winner, but they might be. But I think Javier in the rotation on a consistent basis for the full season is exactly what they need when they lose Verlander. Abreu's an upgrade at first base. Obviously, I don't think they're done yet. And I think already this team is better than they were a year ago, regardless how they choose to fill the corner outfield DH and whatever else they do between now and the start of the season.
I'm going to trash your thought and cash Paul's thought. I do think that the Astros are a little lower than they were a year ago. The day that they won the World Series is a better team than the team that they are right now on December 13th. They still have a chance to add to it, but I would take the team that won the World Series, their last out of the World Series, this team currently. What you've had walk out the door is greater than what you've had walk through the door, because the loss has been Justin Verlander, right? Justin Verlander is gone. He was the Cy Young, and I know that his postseason wasn't fantastic. Although the postseason was okay, the World Series not great. You lost the Cy Young. That's, you're going to take a blow, like a hit there, slightly, because the Astros' rotation is still very good, and you've brought in Jose Abreu. Like, that's really the trade-off that you've made right now. So I'm going to take I'm going to go Astros 2022, the day they won the World Series, then December 13th right now.
So I think that's where this discussion hinges.
When? What they do? What they do?
Well, when? When are we talking about last year? Because you had Lance Lester in the World Series.
Go there.
But well, then it's a reasonable take. But if I can just look at, like, the whole picture of 2022, I'm losing Verlander, but I'm gaining Lance McCullers.
Hunter Brown.
I'm gaining Hunter Brown.
You're gaining some Lance McCullers, because you can't you can't completely dismiss all of Lance McCullers from last year.
I mean, he was not a factor until when? August?
Yeah, August.
Yeah, he's good, though. He's good,
sure,
though.
Sure, sure. I think I don't even know which side I'm catching or trashing here. I'm a little confused. But I am going to cash the idea that they are better. I think they're better than when I try to take a vision of the whole Astros season last season. But I do think they're probably worse than the World Series version.
Sure.
I just don't think it's a fair comparison, because they're going to have a trade deadline.
But even only getting some of Lance McCullers, they were one off a franchise record for wins. Like, they had a pretty historic regular season.
No. I mean, I'm not trying to argue Verlander's not a big loss. I just think that, like, it's not just Verlander in or out, Abreu in, which I think is like what you look at it on the surface level as.
Yeah.
I think you also have more pitching that's going to, like, you had in-house pitching that you're going
to
see.
I think, honestly, I think it's an outrageous take to think that the Astros are currently better than they were a year ago, however you look at it. Because if you're telling me right now you'll give me the over-under on the Astros win total last year in the regular season, I'm taking the under on that easily. And on top of that, the Astros won the World Series. That's pretty lofty for a team to match that.
Win total. I don't think win total is perfectly representative of – it's a good representation, but it's not perfectly representative.
What's a better representation?
It's fair to say that I assumed by saying that I was shocked by when I heard Paul say it, simply because I assume they're going to do more. So I get with the take, like, currently right now on December 13th, and I fully believe they're going to spend money and they're going to do at least one more move. But that's where I was thinking about it. Like, I believe by spring training and when the season starts, they're going to be a better team on paper.
If you give me the Astros win total last year, how many did they win? 115?
But the division's going to be tougher, and they're playing everybody next year.
106 games. If you told me that you give me the over-under 106, I'm taking the under on that.
Well, sure, but his point's a strong
one. Well, that means they're less.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. That's how does one that way of judging less? It, because you're just judging, again, by wins and losses. When you look at a more complete team,
how else should we do it?
And I said the schedule change.
How else should we look at it?
And the division's tougher.
But you're not playing as many division games. I just don't understand, like, what the bar is. Okay, we'll do it on the other side. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Astros, are they better right now than they were, or we don't need to have the right now conversation. Will the Astros opening day 2023 be better than the Astros from last year? 2022 Astros, 2023 Astros. Who's better? 713-780-ESPN. I think it's disingenuous to think that the Astros in 2023 are better than the 2022 Astros. Like, I know that we point to Justin Verlander. I know that we said that it's too expensive. And look, I was saying get rid of Justin Verlander in September. Justin Verlander was still the Cy Young. He still had a 1.75 ERA, and he still got paid $43 million to pitch next year. Like, I feel like we're not quite valuing how dominant Justin Verlander was in 2022.
I get that, but I don't get disingenuous, because you can look at it from a variety of different ways, and you look at it and say, on the flip side, you had a first baseman that was more down than up, that was struggling mightily a year after he won the batting title, and you look at it and you're adding an Abreu that's going to be a massive upgrade at first base offensively. And so I think that it's very narrow-minded to say we're just going to focus in on wins and losses as we determine the overall roster of this team and are they a better and more complete team. If they're better, whatever, and again, if we're going to consider they could possibly upgrade a catcher, but if they get better at the corner outfield and you look at offensively where we started the season where a year ago.
How are they getting better at catcher?
I said, I don't know if they will or not upgrade
a catcher. I just don't know the options that are there.
Okay, we've already kicked that around. I'm just saying, if that's even still a possibility because we're still in December and not at spring training or starting the season yet. But regardless of that, and if they get another bat in the outfield, that you look at this team and say, I believe it's a more complete offensive lineup.
Sure.
I understand losing Verlander, and I mentioned that, is a tough loss because he won the Cy Young. I just think it was too risky to say bring him back, especially at any price, let alone that price. I would have been okay trying it at 25. I believe that what I saw in the playoffs of Justin Verlander worried me a great deal about his future going forward, but it's not your problem to deal with anymore. I get you're losing the Cy Young, but you're also adding Javier in the rotation for the entire season as opposed to when you were using him all over the place.
I mean, he appeared in three games last year in the bullpen. Like, that's not entirely true.
But as it relates to his arm and where he's at, you're screwing around with him. Instead, now you're not going to screw around with him. He knows where he's going to be. He's going to be there all year. And I believe that he can be as dominant or more dominant because of it.
I don't think it's fair to say you're screwing with Javier last year. Like, he started 25 of his 30 games.
You're screwing with him if you're moving him to the pen.
They weren't
and then
moving
you're moving
him
back
around, though. Like, okay, they did that once. Like, he started off in the bullpen.
I don't
he was
care
pretty
if you think
much
if it's fair
day
or not to say. I think that if they're screwing with him if they don't stick him in one spot and leave him there
but
all
they
year,
did
you're
that
screwing with
they
him
did that with the exception of like one rogue relief appearance. Like, once he went to the rotation, he was in the rotation for the rest of the year outside of one
rogue.
He was rogue
always
bullpen
the guy that was first
once
to be considered to be moved or to be taken out of the rotation.
Once.
Okay, Jeremy.
It's the fact. Like, I don't know what you're like rolling your eyes and being, okay, Jeremy, it's the truth of the matter.
He spent time in the bullpen, and then it was always a consideration. There was consideration at times where they were going to move him back there again. And I believe that mentally and physically, it's different than knowing where you're going to be all season long at the top of the rotation and being one of the main guys that they're going to rely on. And I believe that he is fully capable of falling into that role and fulfilling everything they need him to be. Do I think he's going to win the Cy Young? No.
Do you think he'll be better than he was a year ago?
I think he could be as good as he was a year ago, if
not
better.
So if he's as good, they really weren't
be
screwing with him.
Yeah, I
like
think
if
he
he's
be better
as good, the screwing with him didn't really affect him.
I think he could be better.
Okay. You think he can be better? I don't think he's going to have better than a 254 ERA.
Beyond Javier, Verlander started 34 games last year.
I think it was 28.
28. I might have really looked at the wrong year. 28. I tried to find the records quickly in it. What I'm struggling to see is, like, are they going to lose significantly more games in those 28 starts that they're not getting out of Verlander?
They only lost four Verlander. He only lost four games last year. Now, that's not the full assessment of the 28 games that he appeared in.
Yeah,
because they could have lost
hard part,
games.
Finding the full win-loss record.
I don't know their win-loss record when Justin Verlander started. We know that Verlander was 18-4 in 28 starts. So there wasn't a whole lot of decisions that Verlander did not play a factor in.
I am sure they will win less, like, those 28 starts that they have to replace. Uh-huh. I am sure the winning percentage in those 28 starts will be lower.
Agree. Yeah, I would agree.
I don't think it will be an insurmountable amount lower when you look at the rest of the season where I feel like your offense is going to be
better. But if you say that they're lower, wouldn't that make them less in 23 than in 22?
They might hit for a better average. They might
saying
have more offensive numbers, the better offensive numbers than a year ago.
Okay.
Their pitching stats might be better than a year ago, though I understand you're going to both the bullpen and the starters were, you know, across the board, the best in Major League Baseball or a top three, whatever they were.
Jeremy, I'm saying across the 130 games
sure
started by somebody other than Verlander,
mm-hmm,
that they're going to make up the ground.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, though, is a lot of winning and losing, but you are telling me not to look at the win-loss record, and that's simple-minded.
It is part
so, like,
of it.
So, well, then what's a better barometer?
There is no perfect barometer.
I didn't
barometer
say that, winning or losing. I'm also saying numbers and number comparisons. They could be a better offensive team than they were a year ago.
Okay. They can be a better offensive team than they were a year ago, but they can also be a lesser pitching staff than they were a year ago. So if we're talking about which team is better, 2022 or 2023, I think it's impossible to say that 23 is better than 22 when the Astros in 22 won 106 games and a World Series. And there's not a perfect barometer. I agree with that. Maybe it's a simple-minded way to look. Give me a better barometer. Waiting. What's the better barometer?
I think if that's the case, then why do we even talk about this? Why do we even talk about it?
Right, because it was a crash or trash.
No. It's all based on win-loss record. You can never be worse or better than your win-loss record.
We get done talking about
it is a qualifier.
Yes, agreed. It should be in the conversation. But
no,
you
it's also a qualifier that you have to achieve a certain amount of wins to qualify to move forward in the season.
We get
right?
done talking about from the Texans' perspective all the time, and we bring up the Caserio point of wins and losses shouldn't mm-hmm. be how we judge this team. We've said about comparing roster to roster, is it a better roster? I believe it'll be a better roster top to bottom
sure.
than it was a year ago. I believe they can be a better team, and I can whether they get more wins in the regular season or not, I can have more confidence in this team going into the playoffs, adding an Abreu offensively, and seeing what a lineup could look like, whether it's Brantley or
but
someone
else. But
now
we're moving the goalpost if we're talking about the playoffs. Like, we're talking about which team is better, and what is a greater sample size? Like, what is the size that you trust more, 17 games or 162 games?
I think they can
games?
Have a better offensive season from a from
I understand
top
you
to
think
bottom.
That they can have a better offensive season, but you said 17 games. Like, you're comparing the NFL to Major League Baseball, which is a completely outrageous reach, because it's 17-game sample in the NFL with a very, like, niche
I'm
schedule.
I'm talking about
versus,
it from the standpoint
finish?
You can judge.
Guess not.
You're right, because you keep just bashing everything that I say.
It's a like, disagreement.
It's outlandish, and it's this, and it's that.
I mean, but you're being way too sensitive
is,
about your side of the argument.
We are analyzing sports teams, and there's other ways to analyze them just if they're better or not, than just the win and loss totals.
I don't disagree with that, but I think comparing Major League Baseball to the NFL is a huge reach, because you're looking at 17 games of a very, very imbalanced schedule. Like, you play the strength of schedule, you play certain divisions. It's unfair to compare 17 games in the NFL to 162 games, and they're moving to a more balanced schedule next year.
It's not a one-to-one. But
no,
I do,
it's not
but,
close.
But no, but it's a theme that we talk about with the Texans, and I absolutely think it's fair to use that theme when referring to the Astros.
You're playing almost 10
yes,
times
I,
as many
agreed.
Games in baseball than you are the NFL.
Agreed, it's different. I just, like, you're basically saying that you're not allowed to say the Astros. Like, the Astros could add Aaron Judge, prime Nolan Ryan, and you still can't say they're going to be better.
No, you could, but you can think that they
win,
are.
But
sure, you can think that they
win
are.
More games in the World Series, then they can't. You can't use any barometer. Like,
but wouldn't it take a World Series in 2023 to think that the Astros are better than they were in 2022?
It would take a World Series for it to be a better result. That
but not a better
but
team.
But you just no. said, I can think
so
that they're going
to
be better.
So what would it take to be a better team? Like, if they win 92 games and then lose in the ALDS, you can still say they're a better team? Because I disagree with that.
Is there somewhere between 92
sure.
and 106?
Like, tell me. Give me. Like, go as far as you're willing to go.
I mean, if you're in the 100 ballpark, I think you can still be a
100
better
games,
team.
You lose in the ALDS, you're a better team.
I think it's absolutely possible, yes. Okay. The most talented teams don't always win, which you
and
know.
Let me also add, look, okay, that's fine, but let's also look at it.
That.
Let's also look at it from a what has walked out the door and what has walked into the door. Because I love Jose Abreu. I thought Jose Abreu was the best first base target there is, and I really wanted Jose Abreu. Does Justin Verlander in 2022 add more wins, or does Jose Abreu in 2023 add more wins? Because I think that's a no-brainer.
Okay, you think it's a no-brainer. You just said that.
You taking Abreu over Verlander, more wins?
I don't.
Like, which adds more
well,
win value?
I'm not getting that Verlander. I don't know if I'm getting Verlander, that same Verlander next year.
No, I'm asking right now, if you had to guess in 2023, who adds more value to a team, Justin Verlander or Jose Abreu?
I think right now, going for 23, I think Abreu adds more value than Verlander. The way
wow. okay.
the way I look at Verlander and the way I look at this lineup, adding another bat of that caliber to a really good offensive lineup that had a lot of holes at 7, 8, 9, and I believe that it makes the whole lineup better, regardless, again, what they do corner outfield. And Abreu's offense on a day-to-day basis is going to mean a lot to this team.
2022 numbers, I agree with you. Like, that doesn't matter a whole lot. Like, whenever we're trying to predict who is going to be better in 2023. But if you looked at WAR, because we're talking about WAR right now, right? Who adds more win value to their team? Justin Verlander last year had over a 5 WAR. Abreu was around a 4. So it's kind of close. It really is kind of close. So it's whoever you think would have a better 2023, Verlander or Abreu. I think that's where the tie is drawn. Like, because you lost Verlander, you added Abreu. That's really the only difference
between
this team.
But there's floating variables. The schedule does mean something. The fact that the division's getting better, the Rangers
but you're playing a balanced schedule now. You're not playing the same schedule. Like, last year was imbalanced. This year's balanced.
But I'm saying, okay. I'm saying the schedule change is going to differ in the wins and loss total alone, but mm-hmm. but the fact is the division was a cakewalk a year ago. I think a lot of decisions are going to be made, arresting guys. Some of the things that they were just easily able to do because of the fact that they were coasting might be a different scenario this year because they're going to be worried about the division.
Astros better in 2023 or 2022? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We have the most important thing to watch the rest of the way when it comes to a Texans point of view. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What do you think the most important thing is to watch the rest of the way from a Texans perspective? 713-780-ESPN. You can tell us yours. 713-780-3776. What is it from your perspective, Blankers? Looking at it from Texans' lenses, what's the most important thing to watch the rest of the way in the NFL?
As it pertains to the team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We already talked about the fact that I don't need to see any more Pierce on the field because I don't want to see him hurt. I think that I want to see the development of Kenyon Green. I want to see the continued development and what I've seen already of Christian Harris. I want to see the Petrie that I've seen again that I saw for the majority of the first part of the season. But I also want them to start planning accordingly, knowing where they are in the season, and that there's not a whole lot to gain other than seeing a little development from a few players we haven't seen enough of yet. Because other than that, look, I'd like to use the reps for Green because of the fact that he needs all the reps he can get. And I don't know how much coaching he's getting because I haven't seen him get that much better. But I look at this and I say, this is now already starting to plan for next season and beyond. And so therefore, that's why we said, be careful and I don't need to see Pierce. I don't have to see Stingley anymore. Though again, it'd be nice to see him in man situations. But if it means that there's a chance that he could get more dinged up or hurt, I don't know that I need to see that anymore for the rest of this season. Green is someone that I want him to get reps against other NFL talent. I want to continue to see Harris to see exactly what he can be, but I'm impressed with what I've seen. And other than that, it's tough to say I want to see anything more because I don't like the quarterback situation. I don't like the defensive situation in a lot of ways. So that's about where we're at.
For me, the most important thing to watch the rest of the way when it comes to the Houston Texans is the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns are the most important thing to watch the rest of the way from when it comes to a Houston Texans perspective. Because all the things that you said are obviously very valid. You want Kenyon Green to play better. Who knows if Stingley's going to play the rest of the way? Pierce, who knows if he's going to play the rest of the way? We're going to see a bunch of Driscoll Cat. But even with all those things, we're not even sure the coaches are going to be the ones coaching this team next year.
Christian Harris, I just want to see because I think he looks good.
Get some snaps, get some tackles. It makes you feel better about him, what's your confidence level in him going forward. Is all those things matter, but I think the thing that matters the most is the Cleveland Browns' final four games. That's the thing I'm going to be looking at the most. And quite honestly, the Cleveland Browns' schedule down the stretch, it ain't that difficult. They take on Baltimore this week. They might be on to their third-string quarterback. Yeah. They're home for the Saints. I think that they can handle the Saints at home. I think the Browns would be a little favored in that game, maybe 3, 4, 5 points. They're at the Commanders, which the Commanders probably better than we thought they would be.
Hopefully.
They might have playoff implications there. I think the Commanders game is more difficult now than we thought it would be at the start of the season. And then at Pittsburgh, who, look, they had a turn to Trubisky this past week. Steelers are kind of a middling team in the AFC. I could honestly see, and who knows what Cleveland is. Deshaun Watson hasn't looked great in 2 weeks. They're questioning Stefanski there and his play calling and all of that stuff. I could honestly see the Browns going 0-4 or 4-0. They could go 4-0 in that stretch. They could go 0-4 in that stretch. And with where the Browns are right now, with their 5-8 record, if they win four games, they're 9-8, and they might even like sneak into the playoffs. Yeah. They go 0-4, you're looking at 5-12. The Browns could finish, in my opinion, based on that 0-4, 4-0 range, anywhere from the third pick in the NFL draft to like anywhere the 20th pick
of
the
NFL draft. 2-2?
Yeah. I think 2-2 would be like the most likely. Yep. Honestly, I would take 1-3 right this second. I think I would take 2-2, maybe, but it leads to the question because I think that's the range. Right now, Cleveland would have the 12th pick of the NFL draft. Of course, the Texans own the Cleveland Browns pick. I think it could fall to 3. I think it could climb all the way up to 20. If I told you right now, let's play a game. Deal or no deal. If you could lock in right this second, the Browns are currently the 12th pick of the NFL draft. The Browns pick belongs to the Texans. They could go 0-4. They could go 4-0 the rest of the way. It could climb all the way to 2 or 3. It could drop anywhere to 21 or 22. If I told you right now, Blankers, and you Hive, 713-780-3776, deal or no deal, you can have pick 12 of the NFL draft with Cleveland's pick right now.
I'm locking that in.
Deal?
Yeah, deal. Yeah, I like it. Because, I think when you start playing the percentages, the odds, and just as you just spelled out who they're playing and the scenario, I think the chances are more likely than not that they're going to go 3-1 and maybe 2-2, but I don't think the chances are great that they're going to go 1-3 as bad as Deshaun has looked. And so therefore, I know where you're picking with your own pick, and that's really good. If you can guarantee me that you're not a two top 10 picks, but it's 12. It's only two picks away, and you can get another player that high to the start of the draft, I'm taking it right now.
Brendan, where do you stand? Deal or no deal? You can lock in the Browns' 12th pick right now in the 2023 NFL draft. Deal or no deal? We lost the music. It's okay.
It's supposed to keep looping, but I guess it decided not to. It is a much tougher call for me than it is for Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? Why? Because you think they could slip into the top 10?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. You said you're taking the deal.
I'm taking the deal.
Yeah. I am leaning the other way.
You're leaning no deal?
I'm going to lock in a loss to the Ravens. I don't think that they're going to win.
They might start their third string quarterback.
Don't care.
They should pick up Jeff Driscoll and start
Hundley's
him.
Hundley's okay, right? They brought him back.
Hundley?
Yeah.
Hundley with a D, Huntley with a T.
Yeah.
I don't think he's starting, though.
Are you correcting me on name?
But it's a yes, because I did a deep dive on the Ravens quarterback
situation. I don't think the Browns are that good. They haven't been able to run the ball in a while.
Nick Chubb disagrees.
No, their run game has not been good lately.
I know. You're talking to a Nick Chubb fantasy football owner. I'm aware.
That's how I know. Watson looked better this week, but still got some rust on him. And the schedule's not difficult, but I think 2-2 is where I see them going at most.
And if they go 2-2, they probably finish around 12.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the hope they lose at least one more, because I think they're more likely to lose three than win three. I'm willing to take the risk. I'm going to say no deal.
You're going no deal.
I'm going no deal.
You're willing to roll the dice. Now, knowing that the Texans are probably going to finish number one, does that allow you to gamble a little bit more here? Like, does that make you want
Absolutely.
To gamble
well,
that's a little
I
bit
said.
More here?
As long as you know you have the number one pick in the whole draft, it's in the realm, no matter where they finish, that it's going to be just fine for you. But now my question on the flip side of all that, too, after Brendan giving his opinion is, if they go 1-3, what's the best they could finish, or what is like the
guesstimate? It's hard to know, right? Because
right.
what has to like, I would say it's a guaranteed
Nine.
Top 10, though. Yeah, like if you go if the Browns go 1-3 the rest of the way, their final four, I think you can say with certainty that it'll be a top 10 pick.
Okay. Yeah,
I think if they go 0-4, it could potentially be a top 5 pick, like legitimately. So like that's kind of what you're risking here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but if they go 4-0, it could be in the 20s. Because if they go 4-0, they could sneak into the playoffs.
As I look at it with a deal or no deal perspective, I came here with nothing. So if I get a bunch, I'm going to take it instead of risking too much and leaving with what I came there with.
Well, that's the caveat. You are coming here with something. You're coming here with the number one pick of the NFL draft.
That's
so you already
have
that.
You're
that,
also
that's
coming
why I
here
like 12.
With the worst case scenario likely being, what, low 20s?
Yeah, I would say that's worst case.
Absolute worst
that's
case
your range.
Scenario.
Your range is somewhere between two,
like
two
9
might be
and
high.
20?
I think
it's top five if they go.
Yeah, I think it's top
winless.
Five. Yeah, I think it's top five if they go 0-4. Because now
then,
you're looking at a 5-win team.
And then the worst case scenario is like 20, low 20s?
You know, I came into this segment not knowing what I was going to do. I wanted to take it up to the wire. I wanted to hear the music. I wanted to see the red light on. I wanted to feel the pressure of what I would do in this situation.
You wanted to see English royalty holding a suitcase?
Where can I see that?
That's what she used to be before Meghan
oh,
Markle.
You're talking about,
yeah,
oh.
Before Meghan Markle got married, she was one of the Deal or No Deal girls.
You watch that show?
I used to watch it sometimes. Yeah, it was. I wouldn't mind watching it every now and then.
I'm going no deal. I'm going no deal. And
you're
rolling
the dice
into this.
Too.
I came into this with a little bit of fear that the Browns could finish with a better record than we think. Look, they're playing Baltimore. They're playing the Saints. They're going to Washington. They're going to Pittsburgh. That could be 3-1. It could be 4-0. Could be 3-1.
Road games, a little more difficult.
Sure.
But
sure.
I don't know what Pittsburgh's playing for in that last game, but it's a divisional game, so that at least matters, and they
mm-hmm.
hate the Browns. But, man, that's why I'm gonna take the safest of that, knowing where I'm picking with the first pick and saying 12's good enough.
You're locking it in, deal?
I just think you have more to win than lose.
Brendan's going no deal.
I got so many other questions now because of this, too. I'm like, so what position do you think they'd be targeting with that second pick? If it's wide receiver, do we think a wide receiver's off the board by 12?
No.
I don't either.
I think you can get Quinton Johnston at 12.
I think so, too.
I think you can get Johnston at 12.
That's another reason why. And then the caveat wild card that when you started throwing that out there, if they truly are thinking about moving on from Kevin Stefanski because of play calling and stuff, Kevin Stefanski might be a perfect coach for a young franchise quarterback.
Do you lock in the deal right now? You can have the deal. You can have the Browns pick at number 12. Deal or no deal? Officially for me, no deal. I'm rolling the dice. I want a top 10 pick. I want a top 4 pick. Kevin Stefanski, lose your job. Deshaun Watson, perform poorly. for the Houston Texans. What side are you? Deal or no deal? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Want to mention this as well. DeMeco Ryans for head coach. There's a lot of people thinking this way. Are you on board with DeMeco Ryans potentially as the head coach of the Houston Texans? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing I'm on board for is HRP. You should be too if you have a business, because they'll take care of everything for you, or they'll take care of one thing for you. HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holly. Used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business. He's good at it. HRP, members of the Cougar 100 for the 8th year in a row. You've seen the HRP signage at U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway with that beautiful U of H flag hanging outside of it. But business owners, let HRP help you. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRP can help in any or all of those areas. Why? Because there's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small the job, doesn't matter how big the job, doesn't matter how medium the job. HRP will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRP will find a way to help. That way you can spend your time and energy on what's important to you, your business, growing your business. And what you'll love about HRP is their unique approach. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll love that. You'll never have to worry about that, but you'll fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business. Then they know the needs of your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. A lot of folks want DeMeco Ryans as the head coach of the Houston Texans. They're done with Lovie. They want DeMeco. 8105, yes, I'm down with DeMeco Ryans. I think he's good enough coach, or be a good enough head coach, that he could bring in a good offensive-minded coach to surround himself with. Where do you stand on the idea and the notion that's kind of popular right now in the city of Houston that DeMeco Ryans should be the next head coach of the Houston Texans?
I think the biggest caveat is just what they said at the second part of that text, is the fact that you've got to get an offensive coordinator. You're getting a defensive-minded head coach. Robert Saleh is the latest example of a Shanahan coaching tree defensive-minded coach, and Robert Saleh is a good defensive mind, and offensively I think they're struggling in a lot of ways, the Jets, and Zach Wilson's struggling too. And we've talked about, and I'm fully on board with, if you're going to get a franchise quarterback, the minute that franchise quarterback is joining your franchise and your team, you have to surround him with offensive-minded people that are very forward-thinking, very on the current trend of what's going on in the NFL, and be with that quarterback for the next several years. And so that would be the biggest thing to me. We've seen a defensive-minded coach, though he's old school, in Lovie Smith, and we all don't like where that's gone and how that's played out. I understand that you can change a defensive-minded head coach with the right offensive coordinator. I just would have my doubts about it, and I would like to go the Doug Peterson offensive-minded coach, no matter who his offensive coordinator is, and if he's another good one, that's great. But I'd like to surround my franchise quarterback with as much offensive, open-minded talent and intelligence as I could.
Yeah, there's a few things to think about, like with the DeMeco thing. The one thing sometimes people point to is he sued the Texans, turf, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. I think that anything, like, if you pay him enough, he's going to be able to overlook that. Or if you're the only team offering him a head coaching job, I think he'd be able to overlook that. I don't really think that that's that big of a concern.
See, I think actually, Jeremy, excuse me, but I think more than him overlooking it, I think they got to overlook it. I think I get the idea from the situation that they might not be willing to overlook, because he actually sued in, you know, basically they're connected to NRG Stadium and everything. But I think it'd be more on the franchise to overlook it.
Yeah, that's possible. That's something else that could come into play. But if you feel like he's the best coach to get, I think that you have to be willing to overlook it. Otherwise, you're not doing what's in the best interest of your organization. Secondly, Like, I'm not necessarily a believer that you need quarterback now. We all know that. I'm a big believer in trading down. If you trade down and you get your quarterback, whatever. If you have to wait another year to get your quarterback, that's okay with me because I don't think the Texans are in a situation that would make things ideal for a quarterback. And I think rookie quarterbacks need ideal situations to have success in the NFL. And I think history would back that up on my side. The thing that, but eventually you're going to need that franchise quarterback, whether it's in 23, whether it's in 24. If you're signing D'Amico Ryans, you're probably going to have to sign him to a multi-year deal. You're looking four or five years. And like, if you needed to fire him, maybe you can get out of it year three, whatever the case. But with a franchise quarterback that we all think the Texans need at some point, I agree with you. I think you need to hitch the wagon of said quarterback to an offensive wizard. You have to find an offensive guy that you absolutely trust that can mold and develop that quarterback in the best possible way, because that is the most important position in an organization. If you bring in an OC, because that's always the pushback. Well, he can bring in a good OC. Okay, that OC comes in. They have two really good years. What's happening to that offensive coordinator?
They're getting hired as a head coach somewhere else.
They're moving on. So you're, I give me, and I know this is like a pie in the sky type of scenario, I want an Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. I want to have a quarterback that has that offense in mind, and you can rely on that pairing for the next decade. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who they're throwing to. It doesn't, like, it does matter the defense and things like that, but you're trying to just get the most you can out of it. We think that Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, as long as they're a pairing, no matter what else is around them, will always be a contender formidable. In the NFL. Mm-hmm. They'll always be formidable. They'll always be somebody that we take seriously in the NFL. So I need an offensive guy. If you're going to go quarterback 1-1, especially 1-1 in 2023, you have to have an offensive head coach. I don't necessarily need that quarterback right away. I can wait a year, but even then, I need that offensive-minded head coach. I'm not on board with a D'Amico Ryans as the next head coach of the Houston Texans.
Well, and the other thing you got to factor in when you think about all of this is depending on when you decide to move on, but like I heard the name Mike Tomlin thrown out there.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And there are articles or there's things being written about the fact that
if
maybe
he gets fired.
Yeah, he gets fired or it's time for him to just step down and walk away. He's done all he can do in Pittsburgh. Again, I don't know that I want a Mike Tomlin type guy. I want the guys that we've seen under the McVay tree that have succeeded. When you talk about O'Connell, when you talk about your boy, the mad scientist in Miami. You look at these type guys and say, that's the guy that I want to make sure that whoever and whenever, as you indicated, whenever you get that quarterback, because we've debated that, but at some point, the other thing is going to be, if you move on from two head coaches, the next coach that's going to be willing to take this job is going to be like, I need more security, man, because your track record that you just showed me over the last 2 years, I ain't feeling this. And especially if I'm being sought after by more than one team, that's going to be a deal breaker for me if I know how quickly you guys move on from coaches.
Yeah, I'm just not on board with the whole idea of bringing in D'Amico Ryans. Give me the offensive-minded guy for the Houston Texans, especially if you think that quarterback is the way to go right now. If you think quarterback's the way to go right now, then you need to get an offensive-minded guy in here right now. We got to give away a little bit of something. We got to give away something that you're really going to like. Join us as we celebrate Christmas a little early with ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Season of Giving. Today we're giving away $50 gift cards to FOCO Collectibles. FOCO.com has all the best deals all month long for Houston sports fans. They have plenty of products to choose from, including collectibles like big head bobbleheads and gifts for the holidays like World Series ornaments, hats, pajamas, footwear, and more that are sure to put smiles on the faces of all the fans on your list. Caller number 913-780-3776 wins a $50 gift card to FOCO.com. Tune in all December long for our Season of Giving. And don't forget to join us Friday, December 23rd for our annual Christmas party, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Klein's Jewelry. And then it rolls down the street to Nick's Place from 12 to 7. Of course, they're right there at Nick's Place. Come on, hang out, listen to Christmas party December 23rd, and hopefully that you win the $50 to FOCO.com. You can thank the Killer Bees. Wheelhouse will be giving away a couple of them as well, so make sure you're tuning in to the Wheelhouse. Speaking of Christmas blankers, mm-hmm. When do you start telling people Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? If that's
I was going to say, Happy Holidays is the more politically, again, because we're in a more politically correct society these days.
Do you say Happy Holidays or say Merry Christmas?
I say both.
I say Merry Christmas.
I say both. And look, I'm respectful of the fact, too, that, look, I mean, I know some of my friends, my friends at the gym and otherwise, I've got plenty of friends that are Jewish, and I want to be respectful of them, too. So I always say Happy Hanukkah or Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas as we get closer to actually Christmas. But Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm happy holidays guy until I get into December. And then after about the first week in December, or second week in December, that's when I can turn the corner and start, hey, if I don't see you or talk to you, or hey, Merry Christmas, if I see him every day, I'll wait before I say anything.
I got my first Merry Christmas the other day. They were like, Merry Christmas if I don't see you again. Whenever I heard that, I was like, huh.
I think that's more what, like, if you don't see them on a regular basis. Like, I would never say Merry Christmas to you until our last show before the holiday.
It was somebody that I don't see on a regular basis. It was somebody that I see, and it kind of, like, made me wonder if I need to be start telling people Merry Christmas. Like, I'm not going to see this person coming up. Do I need to start saying Merry Christmas? And maybe Christmas actually snuck up on me a little bit, too.
We're under
2 weeks away from Christmas. We're a dozen days away from Christmas. Yep. I think it's okay.
I think that the time has been flying by. The weather and the warm weather has basically lent itself to forgetting how close we are to Christmas. I think the key indicator is just if it's someone that you're not sure you're going to see again before the holiday, it's like the safest modus operandi is, hey, if I'm not going to, you know, I see someone in passing at the mall, hey, if I don't see you, Merry Christmas to you and the family, as opposed to, you know, if we see each other every day, I'll wish you guys a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays both on our last show.
Are we in that window yet where you can start telling people Merry Christmas? 713-780-3776. Who knows if we'll see Brendan again? Maybe we can start wishing Brendan a Merry Christmas.
Isn't he going out of town again this weekend?
He always goes out of town, like once a week, I think.
Yeah, but you know who else? I guess I don't know if you're going out of town. I don't know what it is this weekend.
Yeah.
But you know who else isn't going to be here? Well, I'm not missing a day. Do you know who isn't going to be here one day this week?
I do.
It's not me.
Yeah.
Brendan, whenever you take vacation, do you take vacation to work?
What?
Do you take vacation to go work?
No, because I'm not a lunatic.
Well, I do. I am a lunatic.
You're crazy.
I am that guy. So, doesn't apply to me. The whole, Branham's got Friday off. No, I don't. I'm traveling for work so I can work the weekend.
I don't think that that's a defense.
Absolutely, it's a defense. You can't call me part-time Branham if I'm taking off to work.
Hey, you got two part-time jobs.
Yeah, because you're kind of part-time in one job to stay dedicated to the other job.
No, I'm not part-time in one job.
You're taking off of it.
I get my days off. I get a certain amount of days off, and I use those days off to go work. Brendan takes his days off to go hang out with friends and do fun things.
Different story. He also won't come back on the same day as he's went to an NFL game.
That's true.
And that's suspect in itself.
That's a good point. It's a good point, Brendan. You do that.
You're just shaking your head.
I think it's more normal than you guys give it credit.
I don't. I think it's more soft than more people give it credit.
By the way, Brendan is not committing a fit foul for the second day in a row.
It's the same hat, different sweatshirt, same combination, though, in terms of color schemes.
But he was wearing a t-shirt earlier that also was, it was fine. No fit foul for Brendan today. I think we're in play, too. No fit foul between us. 0170, I don't say Merry Christmas until December 24th, and I continue saying it for 12 days. There you have it. Thank you, 0170.
After the holiday.
What's coming up next?
Football.
All right, very good. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.